This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Dude, how crazy was it that that guy in the improv class, the one with the ponytail who all of his references are about the aliens coming back?
Yes.
That you and I suspected was probably a part of or privy to or leading a cult.
Yeah, we knew he had like some cultish tendencies. It seemed obvious.
Cultish tendencies, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear like the clothes, he doesn't come in wearing a robe.
Right.
And he's not goth.
No, it's just, I mean, he's old, he seems a little burnout, and he seems like he is just aloof from society.
I can just tell he has strong opinions about the types of lizards that lead the government.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're doing an exercise in this improv class where we're supposed to just be talking in gibberish.
Right.
Gobbledygook. And the whole point of this is to emote through the gibberish.
Right. Give an idea of what you're feeling without actually saying anything.
Yeah. We had like a talk show form, right?
Yes. We were being interviewed.
Our teacher is interviewing us and she'd be like, lubba-da-goo-ba-da-boo. And you would be like, blah-ba-da-ba-da-ba. And
yes.
People from the audience would ask you a real question and you would emote that. And then at the end of that, and usually this guy, this cult weirdo guy, this older gentleman guy would, after everything we do,
yeah,
he has some very long, drawn out, nonsensical excuse for why he didn't understand it.
Correct.
It just didn't connect with me. I tried so hard. I just something was lost.
I just didn't get it. Yeah.
But when we did the gobbledygook,
uh-huh,
and he started to talk, I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah.
He's not going to understand how this. And just to paint the picture, yeah, he's sitting between you and I.
Correct.
To where I can fuzz my eyes and make you really clear and then defuzz them and make him really clear.
It's
like
called
one
pull
of those
and focus.
Maneuvers they do in the old films.
Yes.
And he says that this came natural to him because, and maybe you remember the exact phrase.
The way he said it was like, I was in, well, Time magazine called it a cult.
And it was,
and then
that
like,
moment.
And I was looking at him and you were by, and like we both just had this look on our face where I think our jaws just slacked just slightly.
Perfect. To pigeonhole somebody, you never expect, you think he's culty, he could be in a cult, but you never expect
right
him actually being
maybe
in a cult.
Maybe he just lives in the woods.
Because I don't really know how many cults there are. I imagine they're really rare.
I mean, one would think, but I mean, who knows?
But this guy was totally in a cult.
He was totally in a cult.
We nailed it.
We did.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It made my week.
It really did. And for him to admit it so nonchalantly, and for us all, everyone was like, this makes a lot of sense. Like, everybody was kind of nodding.
No
at
one
that
was
point.
Surprised.
Like, right.
A lot of validation. No
the
surprise.
Cult. That's cool. Now I have tons of questions. He's immediately the most interesting person that I know now.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, this is the Polykill Podcast. Speaking of cults,
we are
trying to start one. It's being very hard to start a cult via a podcast about video games.
It's hard to like get famous and be a cult at the same time.
Yeah.
They seem like at odds with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless you're like David Koresh, you just really have the charisma and the guns.
Right, and the compound.
And the harem.
Yes.
Yeah, and that way it's easy. But we're just doing it with a microphone and
a couple of laptops.
A belly full of Wendy's.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
That's all you're doing.
But I'm Travis. That's Jake. Hi, Jake.
What's up, Travis?
We,
and everybody.
And everybody else that's in the room with us today.
Yeah, hey, thanks for coming out.
There's nobody here.
Yeah.
We got up early this morning.
We did.
We got downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We stretched.
Did we stretch?
We stretched each other. I held you down. You held me down.
Yeah.
I begged to get up. You begged to get up. then we started to, we locked mouths, deep tongue thrust. No, I'm kidding. We ran a 5K, so we did go stretch.
Yeah.
Ran a 5K for to benefit breast cancer.
Yep.
To help breast cancer out. It doesn't need any more help, but to help get rid of it.
Yes.
We're trying to vanquish.
Fund the research that will help make it not a problem.
Get rid of this nasty thing. And it was a lot of fun, I thought. I just wish. Now, I'm no 5K expert. I've run a handful.
Right.
I've run enough 5Ks to be in a room of people and expect that I've run as many or more than the person in there that's also ran a lot.
Yeah.
About 10 of them.
Okay. So you ran a 50K.
Yeah, I ran a few Ks.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough signage. You're just running around the streets.
I mean, honestly, it wasn't too hard to follow, but like there were a couple of times where I was like, hope this is right.
Yeah. There was one turn in particular, I remember. There were three guys standing at one intersection. I was like, boy, it'd be nice if they spread those guys out and had them directing us through the other 17 intersections on this route. And right after that, it's a turn, and you could either go straight or left, and then you're supposed to go right after that. And I was like, I really don't know what to do. I really just took a gamble.
Yeah.
And was lucky that someone was in front of me. That's where it pays off to be a little bit, you know, not be first,
sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it worked out. So had a lot of fun, a little stretched out, little tired maybe today, but we're going to pull through here for a big episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
103. So I've been knocking around with the Switch a little bit. I've been working a lot, Jake. And
I know you've been working a lot.
We've been working a lot.
We're working boys.
Working boys.
Working hard for the money.
Real hard for that money.
Yeah.
Which I need to buy more video games that I'm not going to play while I'm working for my money.
There you go.
And I've not had a lot of time to put into a bunch of games. I've been kind of locked into a few.
I'm with you.
I have my regular, my usual, my I'm going to sip on some alcohol. I'm not an alcoholic, but I'll have 4, 5, 8 beers a night.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need them, but if I don't have them, I get upset.
You could quit if you wanted to.
I could quit if I wanted to, but I've never once thought about quitting. So it's not a problem.
Right.
And I'm down in the old basement. Mm-hmm. And that's when I want to veg out, as some people say.
Veggie out.
But I just want to overload every stimulus that I have. So
yeah, you're like that.
You know, I'm balls deep in a fleshlight. I got the Super Nintendo controller in hand.
Yeah.
I've already talked about the alcohol. That's what got the fleshlight started.
Cat licking your thighs.
Catholic?
You have a cat licking your thighs.
Yeah.
Because he will do that. It's weird.
I mean, he'll lick whatever's exposed, and I usually just wear knee-high socks and short shorts, so that works out. And I've been playing Earthbound that way with a podcast going, maybe a little football on the TV, just taking it all in. I feel like I'm in a command center of fun.
It's way too much for me.
It's like a good 3-hour edge, I'll tell you that much. It's not bad. But no, I got a little bit more time with Earthbound, and I would say the first, I don't know how many hours have sunk in, but the first like 4 or 5, and it kind of moves in levels, like each town's a different level.
Sure.
Have you played this at all?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little.
Each town is named after a number, sort of.
So like an Area 51 thing, maybe?
Well, no, not necessarily, but they're in order. So like the first town is called Onett, O-N-E-T-T, and I didn't put that together at first until... Okay. I got to the second town, which I think...
Twofold or something? No.
I can't remember exactly what it's called, but the third one is called Threed, and the fourth one is called Foreside. I'm in the fifth city.
Okay.
And now it's starting to get a little bit where I got to grind a little bit. So before that, I was like, this game is really easy.
Just
pared
sliding
down,
on through,
I didn't mind, honestly. Sure, I like a good little... I mean, it is my veg-out experience. When I do all these other vegging out things that I'm doing, mention the fleshlight and the cat licking me and the beer
football.
And the football and the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want the game to be too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of looking to just push a few buttons.
Right.
I'm not going to be
acknowledge
playing.
Acknowledge some dialogue, manage an inventory slowly.
I don't want anything like a Cuphead or a shoot or anything like that. Like I'm attempting to relax, and this is part of doing that. And so, this is getting a little more grindy. It's being a little more demanding, but I still love it.
Good.
You know, it's not become a point where I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's maybe even getting a little more fun, I could say.
Cool.
Just having a little bit of challenge come in there.
Yeah, a little of that friction always makes games fun.
Now, I don't know how much more game I have.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, you know, thankfully, because the game is somewhat linear in a sense and easy, I've not had to consult any guides or anything so far, thankfully. So I have no idea where I stand in terms of getting it done. But I'd be happy to play it as much as I've played it already again.
Okay.
So it's going pretty well, I think.
Good.
I highly recommend it.
Good to hear.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I kind of in a similar vein with you. I've been working a lot. And then like when I am playing, like I'm trying not to play something that's too demanding just because I'm tired. And like I've had this issue with my lower back / pelvis hip or whatever.
You get you a fleshlight, man.
No. Oof, yeah. No.
Not sure how it would help, but...
I mean, it would be good to have one.
You never know when you need to look inside the back of a closet with the light part.
Correct.
And then immediately try to flex something. You don't know when you might need one.
You never know how it's
going to work. It's a good tool to have in the toolbox, I think.
Yeah. It's like a Leatherman or a screwdriver. It's just worth having around.
What's a Leatherman?
It's like a multi-tool.
Oh. Mm. I would just call it a multi-tool. Is that a brand name, Leatherman?
Yeah, they're like the OG
Wow.
of the multi-tool.
Jeez Louise, like a Swiss Army kind of thing?
Correct.
Put a flashlight on one of those, and then you're good to go.
That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Probably hurt. But, so, like, I've been also so trying to stretch out a lot and do these physical therapy exercises that my physical therapist has given me. So I'm, like, lying on the floor and doing press-ups and side bends and all this shit. So, like, I'm trying to, like, do that as much as I can. So it doesn't always lend itself to game playing. So I'll, like, flip on a Star Trek and just stretch while that's going on. But when I have been playing games, I've just been sticking with Greedfall. And I'll be damned, man. That game just keeps surprising me. Like, I was really in love with the world, and the characters are kind of okay. But I like the lore, and I like the setting, and the combat's fun. And just seeing how things progress is good. And then, like, I got to a point in the story, which I'll not spoil. But, like, I was about ready to... I was like, I'd probably put in, like, 2 hours. And I was like, I think I'm just going to put it away for the night. Maybe wind down with some... YouTube's maybe a Metal Jesus video or something.
Wind down with a little Jeezy.
Yeah, wind down with a little Jeezy. And then, like something happened in the story, and I was like, I can't stop now. So, like, there was a nice surprise. Like, I just wasn't expecting a big movement like that. And when I got it, I was like, damn, that's cool. So I really haven't played much because I got through that sequence, and then kind of I could tell we were at a point where it was like, all right, now there's a bit of a crossroads. So I was like, well, I'll wait here. But I'm about 17 hours in,
wow.
I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Spent a lot of time with it. There's still some bosses that I can't beat. I feel like there's some optional bosses, and then there's like a main boss and one of the main quest storylines that that I need to get through, and I'm not quite strong enough to beat him yet. Hopefully soon. But like I'm doing the grind a little bit. You know, just trying to kill some monsters and taking on some bad guys and leveling up my skills and my specials and whatnot, and trying to still, like, I don't know if I've done it the right way, but there's so many different things you can do. Like, my character is like he's like a spell caster kind of guy, but I can also use firearms and swords. So it's like a multi-angle attack that I can go at here. So I'm still having a blast with it. I really do love the game.
Do you have mystical weapons? Do you have magic? You have...
like magic missiles is, I guess, what they're called. But, I mean, they're basically just like Hadoukens, you know? It's not like anything super sexy, but...
Hadoukens are pretty sexy.
I mean, they are, but it's not like a lightning attack or a summon.
I yell Hadouken right at Climax every time.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I've still been grinding away on that. I really didn't play much at all this past week. I think I played some Monday night or maybe Tuesday night, but since then I haven't really touched anything, which is a little tragic. But I've just been busy and been tired, and like I said,
same old thing from you, all the time, busy and tired.
Yeah, I mean, I get up at 5, and like by 9 o'clock, I'm ready just to fall asleep.
Well, it's because you burned 3,000 calories before 9 o'clock, and you've not even started your work day at that.
Correct.
Point. So, I mean, whose fault is it?
That's probably me.
It's sounding a lot like your fault. It's
probably my fault. But still having a blast with it, and hopefully get some more time with it this week, because I'm ready to see where this thing is going.
Does it look like it's something that's going to end soon? Where do you feel like you are?
I think I'm about halfway through the main story.
Okay.
Maybe a third.
Do you see yourself maybe getting to a point where you're going to streamline to get her over with, or are you just having too much fun?
I still like the side quests. I mean, because they are, like, I think I brought it before.
Like The Witcher?
They will just kind of go places you don't expect, and I kind of like those surprises.
I dig
so,
that.
So, yeah. Like, I the other night, I was just like, let me just grind on some of these side quests. So I just hopped out there and, like, you know, made them my mains and went after them. So
right on.
It's pretty cool.
What happened last time?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, both Jake and Trav are working away at that Link's Awakening, and boy is it cute. Jake's taking some stabs at Greedfall while Trav is in the world of Whimsy there in Earthbound. Did Jake actually beat any games? Sure, he beat a couple. 1980X and Sayonara Wild Hearts. Trav beat a few too, including Venture Kid, Dragon's Lair, and Persona 5. Things get a little honest, a little heartfelt, and a little direct. As the hosts talk about mental health and gaming for the topic of Disgush.
All right. We are back. Good episode last time.
I guess.
We got a little in the old head there. Talked a little bit about what makes us tick.
Correct.
What makes us talk even a little bit.
Ticking and talking.
Ticking and then also talking. You can't have one without the other.
No, you can't. You shouldn't.
People always say there's a ticking time bomb, but I'm like, a tick-tocking time bomb.
Correct. Don't get it twisted.
Don't twist it up. Just to remind everyone, before we get too far into the rest of the weeds.
Yes.
We are going to have a live stream next week.
Oh, yeah.
Our monthly stream. which is was originally something that we did specifically for patrons, but now patrons have the ability to influence that stream by giving us games that they want us to play, or playing with us, perhaps, on these streams.
Yes,
it will, of course, be available to anyone who has the stomach to put up with you,
all
me, and Brian's bullshit.
Yeah.
As we continuously, as we get drunker every half hour, Brian will break out the fireball at some point.
Yes.
Things will get sloppy. Brian will get racist. We'll have to kick him out of the room. Happens every time. Then he'll just bring down crackers and mayonnaise, and he thinks that's a snack.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not, man.
It is not a snack.
It's not.
So, if you can handle any of that, it will be next weekend. I'll actually tweet out the specific time, the specific date.
Yeah.
But next weekend.
We'll probably do something a little spooky themed.
I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need to.
Crackers and mayonnaise is pretty scary
pretty
to me.
Fucking scary.
I mean, I can't even handle it.
That is pretty fucking scary.
Speaking of spooks.
Yeah, go on.
Next ep.
Yeah.
Will that be the one? That will be the
one.
It
will be the one, yeah.
Next ep, submit your creepypastas. If you heard a couple episodes ago, Jake and I shared our creepypastas. If you think that you're better than that, which you might be, because maybe you put more time into it than we did that last 5 minutes before the episode started when we wrote ours, you can send yours in to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Or whichever way you can get to us,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's fine. And again, you know, try to keep them somewhat brief. You know, we don't, we don't, you know, a novella here to read on the podcast.
Yeah, we're not all a bunch of Caleb J. Rosses up in here,
right? We're not
esteemed
just
author Caleb J. Ross or
holding
Stephen King
beer and and by our face
oat juggling like old Caleb.
Yeah, exactly.
Our good friend, check out his YouTube channel,
please do.
He's already sent his, by the way.
Oh, good.
And you can send yours if you would like to record yourself saying it. We might do that, or we might read it ourselves. It's up to you.
Yeah,
it's up to you. So send those in. Make them nice and creepy. No horse shit.
Yeah,
you know, we want to be spooked.
Correct. Scare me.
Scare me. And
dare you.
It's kind of a bonus if it's gaming themed, but you know, I really don't give a fuck.
It's fine.
Just make it scary.
It's All Hallows Eve.
That's right.
Speaking of All Hallows Eve, what's on your radar?
Dude, I am looking at the cutest horror ever, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville, which sounds like a movie that Chevy Chase would have been in the late 80s.
It sounds like a California Raisins.
Or Tom Hanks. I was thinking The Burbs a little
bit. The Burbs. No, you're right. The Burbs, yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I didn't even know. I don't know where was I when they talked about
this. I
think
you probably just avoided all things EA during E3, and I think that's when it came up.
Yeah, you're right. I think I did tune into their bit, but it was a little bit late, and it was mostly about
Star
the new
Wars
Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I missed this, and it, you know, I'm surprised I didn't catch it in some other way, Twitter or whatever.
I liked the last one a lot.
I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
I enjoy them a lot.
I like the whimsy.
The whimsy's great.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, a lot of things. The color palette, there's something about that, too. Everything, and I think I've brought this up before.
I wish you would, again.
The art reminds me a lot of the cover of the R.L. Stine Goosebumps novel.
Sure.
It has that same, so it's almost a nostalgic feel, these things. And, like, even when you crack open the packs of cards you get that will, you know, that's kind of got that thing.
Yeah,
That's a very satisfying noise and sound. It really does feel like a cellophane package, like a back of baseball cards opening up. So it's got a lot going for it, man.
It's weird to me that you don't like Splatoon, because like it's almost the same.
You know, I have no opinion of Splatoon because I never played it.
Okay. It's weird to me that you've never played Splatoon, because it's kind of the same thing.
Because it's multiplayer, and I'm like, ah.
There's a single player campaign.
I'm sure. I'll say it about every game. It feels like a Switch game.
Nah.
It's pretty. It's cute. It's colorful. It's cute. That's the biggest thing.
It's cute. It is cute. You're right.
Xbox One, PS4, PC on October 18th.
There it is.
What else comes out that day, though?
Return of Oberdin is finally hitting other platforms aside from the PC.
Said that weird.
I know. I intentionally did. It's something that I notice about people. There are certain words, not compound words, but sets of words that describe one thing. Some people have a different cadence for that, and it's always weird to me. It's like you, when you say sour cream, you say sour cream. You go up on the sour and down on the cream.
You said you, me specifically?
Correct.
I
you.
Do this. I'm
yes,
the only
you.
That
you say
that
sour cream.
Sour cream.
Yeah. You don't say sour cream.
What's different? I don't understand.
You got a sour cream.
Yeah.
And sour cream.
It's like I'm trying to make a point that the sour part about it's a little weird. I'm like, sour cream, can you believe it?
Right.
It's soured cream.
Yeah. It's like my dad, he was talking about where he used to go fish. He would always say it was near the Boy Scout camp, but he wouldn't say Boy Scout camp. He would say the Boy Scout camp. Every time. I just find that sort of thing weird.
See, that's weird to me, because I feel like Boy Scout camp was a very specific thing about where Boy Scouts go to camp, but a Boy Scout camp sounds like a bunch of guys scouting boys.
Yeah, the Boy Scout can't. Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you're saying. It's strange. It's strange. Anyway, I just find those cadence on things interesting on the PC.
Okay.
Yeah. On the personal computer. But yeah, Return of Obra Dinn. I'm pretty excited for this. I think it is from the guy, if I'm not badly mistaken, who made the Papers, Please game. It was a bit of a hit, mainly for its like really interesting socio-political sort of ideas. This doesn't have that. This is like, you know, you're an insurance investigator. Ship comes back to port, or you have to go find it or something. The crew's missing, and you got to go put some shit together. And everything I've heard about it is great, so I'm pretty excited to play it.
I tend to bring up the episode that Pam was on quite a bit,
yeah,
because she talks about a lot of games, specifically mm-hmm. on the PC that I never see. And I remember her talking about this on the PC never see, or that I never see, because I don't play a ton of PC games. And this is one that I distinctly remember, so that's why I'm also interested in it, because I like the investigative aspect of it and the mystery and all of that. And the art style looks really interesting.
Very distinct.
Yeah, distinct is a good way to put it. I don't even know if I like it, but I'm sure once I'm in there, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll normalize very quickly.
Yeah. It looks like a really high-res Game Boy game.
Lots of lines.
Green shit.
Yeah. There's another game comes out a couple of days before that one, and I think it is from Game Freak, the Pokemon people. Little Town Hero?
That's what they call me. Little Town Hero.
That would be a cool thing to be called, let's be honest.
Pretty much.
Little Town Hero.
Little Town Hero.
That also sounds like a country song.
It does.
Little Town Hero.
It does. Something. You just made me drop my phone. That was so good. My phone jumped out of my pocket because it was like, country music.
But yeah, this one looks cute. It looks interesting. You're in this village and it's being besieged by monsters and you have to fight them off in some interesting like turn-based battles. And it looks very sweet and very switchy and Nintendo-esque. And I'm kind of here for that. You know, I like my games sweet and cute.
Now,
so, yeah.
What are we dealing with here? I need a genre. I need something.
I guess it's probably like a cross between a Pokemon game, and I think maybe there's a little bit of like town sim stuff in there, maybe some light sim stuff. I'm not 100% sure because I've only seen a few trailers, and they're kind of focused on the combat and like the creature design. You know, it looks like fun. So cool. I'm here for it, like I said.
I'm here for it. Okay.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
Little Town Hero.
And lastly, The Outer Worlds. This is a game that is pretty cool that is coming to Game Pass on Day Unt, but it's also coming to the Switch, I think. I'm not sure if it's on Day Unt or not. But
what are you saying there?
Day One.
Day One. Day Unt.
Day Unt.
Ah.
It's German for one.
I got it now.
I don't think it is. Anyway.
No, I think it is.
It's like a Obsidian first-person RPG science fiction. A lot of people are saying this is going to be like one of the better in that style. It's going to maybe give Bethesda a run for their money.
Oh,
so I'm pretty excited.
They could use a little run for their money, you know? Let them run around and get their money.
Correct.
Instead of standing there and getting it all from Brian.
Yeah, I know, right?
Run around and get it yourself.
This guy makes videos about our menu screen.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of it. It was a cool video, Brian.
It's okay to make fun of it. It was a weird video, Brian, but it was a good video. I've seen some weird good videos, trust me.
I know you have.
Pornhub.com. All right.
Hey.
Just kidding. Nope, I'm not kidding. Okay. I managed to finish a game.
Yeah, you did.
Pretty big one.
Is it?
For me, it is.
Okay, go on.
I never finished it. Never played it. I never finished the Game Boy version of Link's Awakening.
Okay.
Never finished it before. Actually, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I always thought I was like, whenever I would start it again after like 3 or 4 years of not playing it, I'd be like, man, things are going well. I don't know why I stopped playing this game. I just need to get in there and finish it. And I remember
it's because as fuck.
I keep getting fucking confused.
Yeah.
And it's a really small map,
mm-hmm.
you know, comparatively speaking for a Zelda game.
Sure.
And it's a lot of the same stuff that you experience in a lot of other stuff. I mean, it was new then. It laid the I won't say the groundwork, but it definitely established some tropes that were carried forward throughout the series.
Yeah.
But for some reason, some of these puzzles, some of them just really, I can't, you know, I'm not good. I'm
just
not smart.
Did you?
Yeah. I know. It made me feel young again, honestly.
Okay.
The 10-year-old me.
Because you felt stupid?
Yeah. You know how stupid you are when you're 10?
God, so stupid.
Dude, I remember.
I ate bugs.
You ate bugs.
I didn't.
I don't know why I'm erring on the side of sex a lot in this particular episode.
I know,
I've already
very
established.
Horny.
I am not. I will establish right now that I am as dry as a fucking mule. Are they dry or is it a donkey? Which one's
less wet?
Which one's less for? I don't. Which less wet? Jesus Christ. Anyway, I remember thinking. I don't know if I was 10, but I remember thinking that during sex. That
oh god!
That whenever the man did this thing, that there was a sound that came out too.
Okay.
And I remember when I learned that that wasn't the case, I was like, wait, no, it was... That's a good one. Do you remember those things you could get at like the gas station? Like you, it was like a tube, and you held it on one end, and it would go, and you flipped it over, and it would go,
yeah.
I thought that's what would happen. I thought just at the end it would go, and then you'd be done. I think I thought that till I was like 8, yeah, or 9. I don't know why I was thinking about sex at that age, but I was really surprised when I learned that that was not the case.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that's not what I expected.
That's strange. That's not happening.
No wonder that kid wasn't good at video games.
There you go. Know?
So that's why I felt like I was 10 again playing Link's Awakening. I was like, I'm just as dumb as I was when I thought you you let out a weird noise whenever you spooshed. I thought it turns out it's as quiet as a pin drop. You can't
tell what happened.
You don't even know what happened.
Interesting. And so did you complete all of the trading quest? Because I know that one's a little baffling.
Yeah, that one's... I mean, I got all the stuff. I guess, yeah, I think you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if you have to.
I feel like all you gotta do is just beat the dungeons and play the song.
I know for a fact you have to do some of the trading things to get keys to get into some of them.
That's fair. And you do have to do some of the trading to like access certain parts of the map.
Yeah, and to get certain weapons. Like, for example, you can't get the boomerang unless you trade, and you have to... Yeah, it just takes forever to figure that out. And that was where
that's a creative like game design way to make a small map...
Yeah.
Take some time, you know, get some value out of that.
For sure. I guess, and the phone helps. If you got to run over, you're like, what do I need to do next? You go to that little phone, and whoever's on the other end.
That little old man.
Is it the little old man?
The little man who won't talk to you in person.
What a dick.
That's so cute.
He gave me some pointers that I needed. And of course, the owl's there. He got your back. You know? But you have to do something big for the owl to show up. He's like, hoot, hoot, bitch.
He's not going to just show up for you to, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's not going to just see you wander around in the desert for 20 minutes and be like, hoot, hoot, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
He's going to wait for you to finish a dungeon or something, then he's going to come out and tell you what's next. But as far as the trading stuff, that was the thing that really got me, is because I might have found who got that thing really early in the game, but I don't remember what conversation I had with an NPC
there you go
2 or 3 hours ago in the game. I just I don't. So that was part of it. And then some of the later dungeons, just where to go. There's some walls that I needed to bomb that I couldn't see.
Yeah, some of those bombing walls were just sort of implied, like by this, like I noticed that in some of the dungeons, that the way the candles were on the wall sometimes was an indicator, because like they would be spaced apart, like there was a door between them and there wasn't. So you're like, maybe a bomb goes there.
There you go. I mean, typically you could tell by the cracked wall, but
that was always what I thought.
I think, I'm betting that maybe looked more obvious on the Game Boy itself.
Sure.
And now that they've added, they made the wall have the texture, and they made it dark in there, and they actually added lighting effects that hide some of the obviousness of the cracked wall.
Good point.
I think that's part of my issue with some of them.
Good point.
So anyway, I had a lot of fun with it. I think it was fun to beat.
It's gorgeous and cute.
It's very gorgeous, very cute. And I'm looking forward to see if they redo or not redo. I guess this is technically basically a remake.
Oh, yeah. It's ground up.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they remade some of the other ones in the series. And I'm curious, and I had this conversation in the Discord. I would personally really enjoy a remake of the original. Now, that might be hard to do, because I think that Link's Awakening specifically lends itself to cuteness. And this game was cute. Tilt Shift, I always talked about it. It's like that
character design.
That part behind Mr. Rogers' house. So you're like, why is it so cute back there? I wish my backyard was that cute.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just trees and dead raccoons. But the Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda, having no other Zelda around it during that time, it was all you had into the world. It was the only sneak peek you had into the world. It seemed more brooding and dark and bleak.
Yeah.
And not cute.
Unfriendly.
I always kind of thought of everything as being a little more metal.
Ah.
Like Death Mountain.
Sure.
It's fucking metal. Little old men in caves just seemed like they'd be wretched old fucks.
Right. It would smell bad.
They would smell bad. Everything would be dark and dripping. The monsters would be scary. The dragons, everything would
I would love another like super dark entry. I mean, Breath of the Wild, what I played of it, is aesthetically light, but I mean, there is some darkness to it, but like, I feel like Ocarina of Time had some pretty dark moments. Twilight Princess, obviously pretty dark.
Yeah.
So like, I think it would be cool for them to kind of revisit that aspect of the universe a bit.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're never going to make it as, even my little 5 or 6 year old mind thought that, was fucking metal. I don't think that it's ever going to be metal.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool.
It would be fucking awesome, man.
It's pretty sweet.
Some of those, like the three-headed dragon and the Goma and all that shit just looks fucking menacing. Like, you take some of the art from maybe like Blasphemous and some Castlevania stuff and really apply it there. That'd be
fun. I'm with it.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, man.
That'd be really awesome.
Agreed.
That would get my donkey wet.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Sloppy wet donkey. Okay. I also, for the sake of a NES friend video, been playing a lot of NES games. Okay?
Seems right.
You got to do it. If you're going to review a system, you got to play the games on the fucking system.
Absolutely.
And I wrote a little bit about this in a blog on the Patreon page, but I forced myself to play these games at random. And that's the best way to do it.
Sure.
I made the analogy of the radio in the blog. I said, I kind of miss using the radio because it wouldn't let me skip. I was forced to kind of listen to a song. You know, if I wasn't feeling Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive, I'd listen to it anyway. And by the end of it, I'm probably singing along with it. It was probably fine to listen to.
There you go.
Better to just listen to a song than continuously hitting skip. Mm-hmm. Same way with Netflix.
I mean, how many times do you do that? Like on Spotify or Pandora or Apple Music, whatever you use. You're like, I'm going to build a cool playlist of songs that I just love. And then you play it. And they're like, I don't hear that one. Yeah, but if you just let it play, it's fine.
It's fine.
But like,
you'll probably get into it. Or probably will set that mood you're about to set. You liked it. You put it on the fucking list.
It was your idea.
I do the same thing with Netflix. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and watch something on Netflix. I scroll through Netflix for 2 hours and put it down. Don't do shit.
Yeah, I just got to commit.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Netflix.
I have an app I use. It's a retro collector suite. And it has a function in there where you can just, you can say random game. And it'll bring up a random game.
That's cool.
And whatever it selects is what I do. I don't argue with it at all. So it landed on Circus Caper the other night. And I'll talk about this more. I'm sorry, we're both full of phlegm.
I don't know what happened.
We ran a lot.
I guess out there in the allergies.
And it was cold.
Yeah.
And we have gnats in us because we were just inhaling gnats the whole fucking time.
Gnats and donuts in us.
Gnats and donuts. Protein.
Yeah.
Probably. Sir, it lands on Circus Caper. I don't know what to expect of this fucking game.
Yeah, sounds fun. Whimsical.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a picture of a circus on it. I think it sounds good.
Boom.
It turns out like a clown or something abducted your sister at the circus, and you got to basically go through a bunch of circus shit, bullshit, a bunch of like different themes of the circus. You know, you got your high wire bullshit, and you got like a bunch of clowns, and then you got like a tiger or something. I don't know.
Okay.
And this will all be in the video, I'm sure, but it wasn't exactly what I expected. I thought it was going to be a bunch of mini games.
Right.
And then you
keep
whatever.
The elephant on the ball.
Right.
Keep the camel from spitting on your mom.
Yep.
All those things.
Yep. And not that at all. Very aggravating, very tough, very shitty altogether. But I did manage to beat it.
Okay.
And I found, even if it's a shitty game, if I beat it, I find it a little less shitty. There's something about overcoming it where I'm like, wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
It's like anything else. It's like today... We're going to go outside and run. I've never been running for a single second and enjoyed it. But when it was over, I was like, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
I like doing these races. But while I'm running it, I was pissed off. They didn't have signs where I needed to be, where I needed to go. I almost twisted my ankle on a curb.
No.
I was like, fuck that. Who puts curbs in places? On the roadway?
I'm running here.
I'm trying to run here. Remove the curbs.
Yeah. Take them out.
I mean, it's just one of those things. If I overcome it, I find it a little less shitty.
There you go.
Do you feel the same way?
I do. In general, it's like if, embrace the suck is a term that you hear a lot if you're around military folk.
I was going to say, buddy, I have never heard that one.
Yeah, but embrace the suck. It's just like, just suck it up. Love it. It'll be fine. Just deal with it as it comes.
I think this needs to go. This needs to be our motto for a Polykill t-shirt.
Embrace the suck?
Polykill. Embrace the suck.
I mean, we'll get some vets on board for sure.
That's one good reason to do it.
There you go.
Also, we suck.
Also, we do suck. So please love us.
Exactly.
I think that's almost part of the joy of some of these crappy games is just like if you can ride out the storm, you'll feel better about it.
Right.
You know, and
it's not even the difference between a hard game and a not hard game.
Right.
It can be shitty.
Right.
Which
and easy
and. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the difficulty does impact it a little bit in that if it's shitty and hard and I beat it, I have more respect for it than if it's shitty and easy and I beat it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, that was just kind of a waste of time. I didn't even feel any perseverance or triumph from that.
And also, I think games that are made shittily in general usually make themselves harder because they're shitty. You know, whether it's glitch or bad level design.
Exactly.
Or, you know,
like
whatever.
This was just enemies respond. Constantly.
Yeah. That's not.
It was awful.
Yeah, that's not smart.
But when I beat it, I was like, "Fuck that game."
Yeah, I beat all those stupid spawns. Yeah,
not too bad. It's not too bad.
That's fine. I'd recommend it.
I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
That's what the end of that video is going to say is
don't play it.
Skip Circus Caper unless it's the only game you own and you really want to take the time to beat it because that's the only time you'll feel good about it.
There you go.
Is after you've put it down. Literally, like
it's more relief than it is victory.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
So you're still collecting some Switch games.
I am.
Anything new there?
I picked up a Best Buy copy, a Best Buy alternate cover version of Aegis Defenders from Limited Run.
And that's how you say that, Aegis.
I think it's Aegis.
As if.
Like it's, you know, you say Caesar and it's C-A-E-S-E-R.
I've always hated that.
It's not Caesar, so I don't think it's Aegis Defenders. I think it's Aegis.
Why would they, I mean, that was one of the first words ever. Why did they spell it wrong right out of the gate?
I think there's probably, you know, wasn't spelled in English to begin with. That'd be my guess.
So?
Yeah, I know. I know, I'm sorry. Anyway, I did get that, and I've just been thinking a little bit about switching things up a little bit.
Pun.
Mainly just because, like, you know, at first I was like, I'm going to collect a full set of Switch games, and then it got to the point where I was like, no, that's stupid. It's way too many, and I can't keep up with it, and it's expensive and all that.
You need to afford food and...
Lodging. Yes.
Big one.
And wet donkeys. But... I decided to sort of scale back and just say I'm just going to get the limited print style games and all the first party Nintendo games. Right. Okay. So like if there was a small batch.
So like anything exclusive to the Switch.
Yes, exactly. That was my plan. And I just still haven't been able to keep up with it. It's like
what's getting out of hand now?
It's just like it feels like every month. It's probably more like every other month. But there's just like a new limited press publisher that pops up out of the blue, and it's like, we have the only version of this game on Switch, and there's only going to be 2,000 of them, and you better order them or they're all going to be gone.
No.
And that's happening a lot, and like, it's a little frustrating because, you know, I feel like I have a decent collection already. I've got like 130 games with like
decent
30 on the way, and
that's decent.
It's decent, and I'm like, I'm pretty happy with it. So yeah, I'm like, I don't want to stress about not getting these small.
It's just really hard to collect
games
in situ.
Yeah, it's hard to collect like during production.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you said?
I said in situ, but I basically meant like,
I don't know
concurrently.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha, Yeah. I think I'm probably going to rethink a way to restructure this a bit, and you know, definitely going to get all the first party stuff.
That's a big one. That's really the one.
That's the one.
If you were to fall back and really limit yourself completely, that'd be the thing. Just
right.
Get them tender ones.
Right.
Nintendo.
So, well, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I got to put some more thought into it and sort of decide what I'm willing to forego and all that. But the problem is I just don't want to buy games that I don't want at the end of the day. You know,
yeah.
Like there's so many Switch games.
You don't
want
to get a Circus Caper.
They're just shit, and I don't want to have to buy them. Mm. You know, so.
I hear you, man.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
We will see how it goes.
Having fun though. Got some really cool ones.
That's the cool thing, man. I love the hunt.
Yeah, it's good. It's a
That's
fun
the
time.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, I just collect all the old shit, so I'm lucky that nothing new's popping up.
Yeah.
There's some homebrew stuff though. There is a big homebrew in like new quote unquote NES game collecting community.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a really good job of, because those could come from anywhere too, and those are probably even worse because those usually aren't companies. Those are just dudes.
Right.
Just a bunch of dudes making bullshit. And then they might 3D print something or something. I don't know. They're hard to get.
Yeah.
So there's a good community of that. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point. I mean, I'm having a hard enough time getting the ones that are, you know, already fucking out there. But
potentially hundreds of them.
You know, if I ever, you know, if I'm never satisfied, there's always a place to go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, that's cool. All right, so if you're never done, mm-hmm. if you're ready to go,
mm-hmm.
if you need to be satisfied, why don't you fucking try Caltech? Because this episode is sponsored by Caltech. They specialize in autonomous systems, including drones and robots, as well as the mobile technology that connects you to them. They have consulted on projects around the globe, and they can consult with you as well, as no software development project is too big or too small for Caltech. If you want to learn more, or if you're just in disbelief that we actually have a sponsor, and trust me, we are too, you can see for yourself that Caltech is real and waiting for you by reaching out to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Thank you, Caltech. And that was a free one for Caltech because they owe us money.
Oh, shit.
That was a free one.
Oh, shit.
I hope they actually deliver on that or else we're just going to have to step back and
edit that out. Damn right. So if you like what you heard so far, you can find us online at polykill.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can just search Polykill and you'll find us on any of those platforms. You can also, as we said at the top of the show, send us a line, drop us a note, or reverse that to polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
Creepy pastas can go there.
That absolutely. You can also electronically honk our hooters over on the Cartridge Club forums. Also, we do have a Patreon that grants you exclusive access to weekly content from one of us Poly Bros. You also have a chance to influence the topic of discussion, which is evident today.
Oh, yeah.
As we discuss things, as well as early access to Nest Friends, off-kilter episodes, and whatnot. So check that out if you're interested, and let's move on to the ground game.
Yeah, dude. So last time we talked about stepdads.
Yeah, you did.
And I said that was the real hero of the split family dynamic.
You did say that.
Because he's often trodden, beaten down. He's already lost.
Mm.
He probably didn't come out good in that first divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in an apartment that has no furniture.
She got the gold mine, he got the shaft. Like Johnny Paycheck said.
Just like Johnny Paycheck said. But, you know, that's not always the case because there are some really good stepmoms out there.
Absolutely.
And again, I have no experience with stepmoms other than just knowing a couple.
Okay. And that Pornhub stuff you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Well, there's always that. There's always that. But no, I think, you know, there, and we often hear, I think we have a bit of dudeness in what we deliver here.
Sure.
But we try to be friendly to everyone.
We do.
And I don't want to discount the stepmoms that may want to tolerate us.
Yeah.
You know, stepmoms might think we're pretty cool.
Maybe.
Moms, not so much.
Right.
But a stepmom, she's adventurous. She's trying to get back out there.
Right.
She's trying to be cool. She's trying to look for a good hot stepdaddy.
Open-minded.
Wow.
What did
you say?
I'm tired, I guess. I said open-minded.
Maybe she is.
Open-minded.
Maybe open-minded.
Yeah, there you go.
Bottom line is, if you know a stepmother who likes to have a little fun, maybe she likes podcasts, maybe she's tired of listening to Wine and Crime.
Maybe.
Maybe she's a little tired of the NPR stuff she's been cruising on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she wants a little less sophistication in her ears. She can listen to Jake and I, Jake's baritones and my just Gomer Pyle tones. Yeah. Tell a stepmom about Polykill, Ground Game, and let's see what we can get. See if we can get some stepmoms on board.
Let's do it.
Stepdads came out in droves. They don't know how to use the internet, but they were happy to be here.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed it. All right, so we're going to take it into the hashtag Just Beat It. Starting off with the Polykillers, of course, those who beat a lot of games and share them with us on Twitter with a hashtag Just Beat It and a screenshot of the game they beat. And we're going to start off here with RFG Playcast at RFG Playcast, who got caught diddling himself at a Walmart. You can't do that. You just can't do it. Don't do it. Even in Florida, don't do it. RFG Playcast finished Dead Space 3, Her Story, Steambot Chronicles, Don't Call Me Mama, But Yes I Am Your Mama, I don't know what that's about, What Remains of Edith Finch, and Freedom Planet. Good group of games there, RFG Playcast. Coming up next, of course, Steven Davis at The Disposed Hero, who, angry at his neighbor, thought his neighbor was spying on him, he filled a water gun with pee and blasted him with it, which I think is cunning, clever, and the right amount of justice. So that's pretty awesome. Good job, Steven. He completed Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon, Walking Dead, Final Season, Castlevania 3, Metal Slug, Resident Evil 7, and the lovely Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. So between the two of those guys, you can tell it's getting to be Halloween. Dead Space 3 and all that, the Castlevanias in there get spooky up in here. Now we're going to take it into some of the beat tweets, some of those random beat tweets that we think are just the bee's knees. The knees on the bees. That's what we think these tweets are. We'll start out with our friend here, Steven Davis, at The Disposed Hero. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. Awesome throwback to the 8-bit Castlevania titles with a ton of influence from Castlevania 3 in particular. A nice prequel to Ritual of the Night and highly recommended for Castlevania fans. Hashtag just beat it for the RFG Playcast. So that's pretty cool, Steven. Coming up next here, Producer Jay at TechnoDork437. It has been a weekend of beating it. Amen, brother. You know what I'm saying? Another hashtag just beat it. This time, Frontlines Fuel of War, which sounds made up, I'll admit, and is a buck and a half if you have games with gold or Xbox Live Ultimate, the best deal in gaming. So check that one out. According to Producer Jay, it is both fun and cheap. Next up, RF Gen Slaycast. He switched it up there for the Halloween. Of course, at RFG Playcast. Her Story on PC, hashtag just beat it. I started it this morning and was so high on it that I was late to work and brought my laptop to work to play it there. However, long after I figured out the story, I found it excruciating to uncover the last 20 or so clips. Still recommend, though. Well, that's a good problem to have when you play a game so much that it interrupts your job. I hope you're not a paramedic or something important. And lastly here, Top Spot at TopSpot123. Hashtag just beat it. Parallax, the trickiest first-person puzzle game I've ever played. Cube, Turing Test, Quantum Conundrum, Cakewalk next to this, where Portal 2 signpost hints in Parallax you can't luck into most solutions. Every move must be made with intention, mind-bendingly hard. But you did it, Top Spot. I guess that's why you're Top Spot. And you can evidently count to at least three, so you're very intelligent. So good job, everybody. Good job on those games. Okay, so this part of the show is brought to you by our Patreon, mm-hmm. our Discord. This is the one Fran TikTok Society, Josh Leslie, recommended that we do.
Did you say Fran TikTok?
Yeah, I did. I thought
it'd
be fun.
I liked it. Yeah, it was a nice callback.
Yeah, yeah. He said, what about you guys talk about bad games you actually like?
Right.
Seems like a simple construct.
Yeah.
It was probably one he didn't even think too much about, but it struck me because I was like, I do like a few bad games.
Right, and we've talked about this a little bit, maybe not in the same format, but we've mm-hmm. talked about this previously about how, you know, we are good at bad games and bad at good games sometimes.
Right.
And that you do have a soft spot for a game that's a little different.
I do.
It under the porch when company comes over. Kind of
oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What did you guys used to put under your porch when company came over?
We didn't have a porch.
Ah, that's right. There's no porch on a bus, is there?
Nope.
Sorry, I didn't mean to slam you down like that.
But that's okay.
To make you feel as though I also had it bad. My dad would make me hold his beer beside my seat when we went through traffic checkpoints.
Okay.
So that was kind of like the porch idea.
There you go.
You know, he would chug a half a bottle of Listerine and hand me his beer and be like, hide that over there. Let me do the talking. I'm like, why am I letting you do the talking? You're the one that just drank all the beer. But anyway, speaking of that terribly sad thing that
we just went through. Yeah.
Bad games we like.
Yeah. There's a, you know, it took me a bit because, and this is something I think I need to get off my chest at the top of this discussion.
Oh my God.
And it's not like I'm a frustration.
Did your dad used to have the beer in the bus?
No.
No.
When it comes to playing bad games, like if I don't really rely on any specific journalist or journalistic outlet to tell me what to play. I think I've got a good enough eye at this point to know when I see a quality game versus maybe a lackluster game. But like in general, I avoid a lot of bad games because of my playtime is limited and I don't want to spend my precious gaming time playing, you know, a cold turd of a game. Mm. When I could be putting it into something that...
Like a hot turd.
Yeah, like a nice, nice, at least tepid turd.
Tepid turd, yeah.
Yeah, so like I just don't want to... it took me a little bit of a time to come up with some of these. Because, again, I don't seek them out.
I'm with you. And yeah. I think, and of course, my entire list are games from really this generation and last.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably make this list super long if I included all the games I played as a kid.
No doubt.
But unfortunately, there's not a lot of reviews out there where I could point to and say...
I think there's some legendarily bad ones, you know, like
sure.
Superman 64 yeah. or, you know...
And I just didn't play shit, those. I've watched a ton of Angry Video Game Nerd and...
And I did play Superman 64, but like for a minute and like took it back.
I didn't like it. And similar to you, you said you had a pretty good eye for what's good and what's bad. And I don't know that I have that kind of eye, but I do tend to follow buzz a mm-hmm. little bit because I'm a little behind. I very rarely get a game that's fresh. We talked sure. about this ad nauseum. I mean, I got Link's Awakening. I knew what that was going to be.
Right.
I'll pre-order something that I know what's up. But for the most part, I just kind of wait to see if there's a big flame under it, and then I'll try it out. People convince me to try it, then I try it. And so I'm usually not stuck playing many bad games either.
Right.
From
this era.
Yeah.
We'll say era.
I just mentioned Circus Caper, and I'll go back and play
clearly
some of those old shitters. But
yeah.
I don't mind that sometimes.
Well, also, I think in like the NES era specifically, mm-hmm. you know the bad experience isn't going to be too long.
That's true.
You know, there is, you feel like, well, I've got 8 bits of terribleness here. You know, it's not like you're diving into a shitty Sega Genesis game or something.
And some of those great games have terrible aspects anyway.
Sure.
Like Castlevania, the knockback.
That knockback, baby.
That almost makes that game bad for me.
Sure.
But it's the themes and the sounds and everything else that really lift it up and make it something special. So and that's not too far from something like Circus Caper, where it's not too unlike Castlevania in terms of it's a side-scrolling platformer. Like, what's the difference? Why is the one game so bad
mm-hmm.
and one game legendary? And it's a thin line.
Sure.
For those old games.
Yeah.
It really is a thin line. So anyway, let's get started.
Let's talk about some of them that... Now, I believe Frantic proposed anything 50 or below.
Yeah, that was hard.
I couldn't quite stick to that. I do have a few that eke up over 50. And I'll start with the highest Metacritic that I still consider kind of low for a game that I like, and that is a 61.
It's still in the yellow.
It's yellow,
yeah.
But it's cautionary. Like, play this only if you really want to.
Yeah.
And this is actually a game that I beat pretty early in the podcast life.
Jeez.
Maybe in the first year. But that was Forza Horizon 2 Presents Fast and Furious for Xbox One. This was a standalone adventure of sorts. I mean, it really, you know, it was just Horizon 2. But, like, the theme was very tied into the movies, and the cars were from the movies, obviously. And it was more of like a marketing timing thing.
I think I remember you telling me that it was pretty simple.
It was, yeah, very simple, very quick, maybe 3 or 4 hours. But honestly, I had a lot of fun with it. Mainly, you know, Forza Horizon 2, it's a great game. Forza Horizon 3, 4, they're all great games. I love that version of the Forza series. I was actually surprised to see it at a 61, and I don't really know why. I didn't like dig into any reviews at all or scores or why it was this low, but I was really surprised because I thought it was a fun quality.
So that's one, like, maybe with the rest of these you could be like, I could totally see why I got this despite liking it.
I can't, right? Yeah,
but this one, you're
this
like
this one, I'm like, I don't know, I don't get it.
Maybe it was because it had the Fast and Furious tie-in that maybe, just people maybe, just immediately had an opinion that
maybe
was
thought it was too short or whatever. But like, I remember playing through it and just having fun, like, now, the little challenges. And
was it a games with gold? Did you pay money for it?
I think I did pay money for this. I think it was on sale when I got it, but
was
I
it
mean,
like a full price release?
No,
because
no.
I'm wondering if maybe that soured it. Like, if it were 60
be?
Bucks sure. And that same experience for
no,
someone,
it's definitely
I could
not
see
60 bucks.
Okay,
maybe 10.
Oh, well. Then shit.
10, 15.
Then yeah, why are people so fucking mad? You got a $10 game that seemed fine?
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I would play it again, actually.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. For myself, I also had a really hard time, especially with the Metacritic stuff. Again, I play a lot of older stuff that's probably ass, but Metacritic doesn't go back that far.
Right.
And so to make all this kind of equal, we went with Metacritic. I was very surprised to see the Bureau XCOM declassified at a 66.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that game. It was basically
a...
third person view of the XCOM series,
right?
It
was more like an adventure style game, right?
Based in the 50s. I mean, it was still your cover turn-based strategy game, but took place in the 50s. It really had a really good ambiance about that too. Like, it was very aware of its time.
Yeah, it seemed like they were really capitalizing on that classic
Roswellian
FBI era feel.
Yeah, classic FBI, kind of Roswellian, like that kind of time period. I really enjoyed it. I don't think there's much wrong
with
it.
It's one I've always wanted to play.
I think it's definitely better than a 66, 100%.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the complaints were? Did you look at that at all?
I didn't, but I think I remember playing it and there being a little bit of jank.
Okay.
Like with some of the, I don't know how familiar you are with XCOM games, but you know, certainly the cover stuff is very important. So like, if you want to get a good angle or something like that, and so you might think that you're in some good cover, and maybe you're not.
Turns out you ain't.
Turns out you're not. And
bullshit.
I think that was some of it too.
Gotcha.
And it would also do like these instant replay or like these close cam kill shots, and those would sometimes just be, you know, you think about some of the glitchiness from like that one Assassin's Creed where like people didn't have faces and shit.
Yeah,
you get a little bit of that. Or like real buggy, like, wow, that does not look right.
Did not
kind
add
of shit.
Up.
Or like people shooting guns, like they're holding the gun, but it's going through a texture because you're behind a wall or something.
Gotcha.
Just some shit like that. So I think maybe not completely polished, but not broken.
Gotcha.
Certainly still a good game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting. Yeah, like I said, I've always wanted to play that one and just never got around to it. I think that was pretty late in the Xbox 360 cycle, if I
Seems
recall
right.
correctly.
Yeah.
So this one will tickle the fancy one, Brian.
Ah, yes, Hokey Briz, our friend.
So Fallout 76, here we go.
You're saying that you liked it.
I'm saying that I like it.
It's fine, right?
It's fine, especially now.
I think it deserves a Metacritic score of about 76.
Sure, that would be poetic. But as it stands right now, it's at 49, so this is a sub-50.
People hate fucked it.
They really did.
They
I think, I wonder, you know, how much, because that's kind of a thing right now, is just like review bombing things. And I'm wondering if this is not part of that.
Does Metacritic have a way of...
There's user reviews, but this is a critic review aggregate. This is not a user review aggregate. So
right.
This is technically from the established outlets that combine to give it this point.
Right.
Yeah.
So users aren't, this isn't the public hate fucking it. Now I wonder what the public review sentiment was for this.
It was pretty stupid, I think.
Even lower?
Probably.
Wow.
Which is, you know, I guess it makes sense. But here's the thing, like, I think they have, they tried something new and it was, didn't work out immediately, but they, I think they've put time into it. And again, it's like another Fallout game, but except it's set in West Virginia with, I mean, all the classic Bethesda jank, all the classic glitches and all that, all still there. I don't think it's a 49. I don't think it's a bad game. I think it's, again, unpolished, but polished to the level of expectation for a Bethesda developed game. And I think that the concept is neat. I think the setting is neat. I think mechanically that they had a few things to work out, which I think they finally are. But I think they've, and I don't think it deserves a 49.
I wonder how much of this was just about canvas bags and the horseshit that wasn't even part of the game.
Could have been. It absolutely could have been. And I totally get that, I guess. You know, trying to wrangle all these different aspects of the game into giving your perception and like putting a number on what you think this thing is worth or what it should be considered. But I just think that I think it's better than a 49. You know, I wouldn't say it's an A-plus game. I wouldn't give it a 90 or anything, but I don't think it's failing.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I don't know if Brian still plays it, but I'm sure I can see him fire up a new character. And he still plays Skyrim all the time. So yeah, he's
playing WoW now.
Playing WoW now. The boy just likes grinding. Likes his stuff. He likes what he likes. I have not tried it yet. I was always intrigued about it, though, because being where we're from.
Well, you technically have it.
Yeah, that's right, because we're buddies on the thing. On the
I got the Digitali version. So, yeah.
I might try it out. I just want to try it. I just don't want to play with other people, but I want to see it.
You don't have to.
I want to experience the mountains that I live in now.
There you go.
You know?
That's pretty cool.
Get out there and see Mothman.
Yeah.
Maybe find Richard Gere.
Like Indrid Cold.
What that?
Indrid Cold.
What's that?
That's what he called itself on the phone that one time.
That's what Mothman called himself?
Presumably.
Yeah. Do you think Mothman called Richard Gere?
I mean, that's what happened in the movie.
I need to watch the movie again.
You should. Point Pleasant, the bridge shook, and all that stuff.
We've been to Point Pleasant.
Neat. Did you get your picture with the Mothman?
No, we've been there. We've had the pass through it to go to Notre Dame that one time.
Oh, that's right. We did.
It was a very pretty place. If I were a Mothman, I'd hang out there 100%.
Damn right.
100%.
A big red buggy eyes just flicking around in the midnight.
That's right. That's right. I don't know why they call him a Mothman, though, because you don't see his package. He's not wearing pants. He's not wearing Mothman pants.
I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he's like the Tick.
Maybe it's Mothra or a woman.
Could be.
People don't know.
I don't know. I think you're being sexist.
Yep. I also enjoyed a game that had a 54. So not quite as low as a 49 here.
Uh-huh.
But a 54. And this one I only played, I'll admit, I didn't pay money for it, so that probably helps. But I played it Games of Gold with a buddy.
Yeah.
Which probably also, I just mentioned I don't like people in my games, but sometimes I do. Okay. Let's be honest. Depends. I don't like a lot of people in my games.
You like friends in your game, maybe.
A friend or one other person. Yeah. It's me and you. Not me, you, and three other people doing shit. That just, everybody's talking and breathing and fucking and farting and getting mad. And but anyway.
Too much for you.
I don't like it. Army of Two, Devil's Cartel.
I've heard a lot of people love this game.
I don't know why they love it, but I don't get a 54 out of it. Gotcha. I mean, it's a couple dudes, you run around, you're just shooting drug dealers all the time.
And you got those cool masks.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, I don't remember a lot of details about the game other than constantly being in a desert, head shooting Mexican cartel all the time. There was nothing to figure out.
Simple. Point and shoot.
I guess there was some dialogue, but, you know, barely any exposition other than, okay, we need to go over here and shoot more cartel. All right, guys, good job. Uh-oh, more cartel. We must shoot them all. And it was just that over and over again for a few hours. But and maybe that's the drag. But it's fun. Yeah. Good, fun loop.
Especially with the buddy.
With the buddy was fun. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, too. Like, it didn't take itself too serious. We didn't take it too serious. We still had fun with it. 54, way too low for something that you can have that much fun with, in my opinion.
There you go.
100%.
Fun factor should be higher.
That's right. Now, there's another Army of Two, right?
Yeah, that was technically the second one.
I think I had also played the first one many years ago. I don't know what it reviewed at.
I think it was better.
Yeah, but that was, I remember that being during a time when there were a dearth of co-op games for that generation, because we were looking for a co-op game to play with one another, and we were like, well, this is one, and we played it, Army of Two, and we were like, oh, this is okay. It was fine enough. I think Kane and Lynch was one of those early ones, too. Sure. We played both of those. And so this was kind of like a throwback for us when we saw it on the game. We were like, wow, I remember playing the first one. We should play this one again, and it was fine. Yeah. It was totally cool.
There you go. So one that I don't get at all. At all. Mm-hmm. I kind of get it, but no, don't get it at all.
Okay, so you don't get it at all?
Kinda.
You kinda get it.
1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
For the Switch.
People like that, right?
Well, I mean, it's got a Metacritic score of 58.
Seems low. Is it because it's the gimmicky Switch game, and people again hate fuck things that are different.
This is journalistic.
I don't put them on a pedestal at all. I think they're just as apt to hate fuck.
It's possible. But here's the thing with the game. Like, yes, it's simple. It's gimmicky. There's nothing. You do nothing on the screen. All that the screen is for is to give you instructions. It's like everything is between the Joy-Con from the Switch, mm-hmm. Making it unplayable in Switch Lite. But I think the interesting thing is like I played this game with my mom and watched her have a blast with this, you know. That's and right. It's just like she's never played a game before with me ever, but like we played this and she had a great time. And I had a great time. You know, maybe part of that was like just me enjoying her having a good time.
Absolutely.
But like, it's neat. It's pretty neat. And the HD Rumble stuff, really cool. Mm-hmm. And you can really feel it. It's like, damn, this is very articulate, very accurate. I think it was a nice little tech demo. I think it was definitely overpriced at $50.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's part of it. Maybe this should have been a pack-in, which a lot of people mentioned.
I think maybe. That might have helped.
But at the end of the day, judging it on its own merits, I still don't think it's a sub-60 game, because there's a lot of fun things to be had there, and it's one of those things
where you can milk a cow, or you can do the fast draw stuff. Yeah,
or play table tennis, or
that's fun.
Samurai swords, or box.
I don't see it being much different than Wii Sports. And
I mean, it's a party game. It's to get 100%. People involved in something that isn't so cumbersome as like, well, let's play Smash. Okay, who's your mind? Do we have enough Joy-Cons for everybody? Is the Wi-Fi okay? You know, it's not cumbersome. It's just you pick it up and play it.
I think, and you mentioned, I think a pack-in game would have been perfect for it, just because it does have the ability to get the whole family involved. Like you said, your mom played. Anybody could play this.
Yep.
You don't need to see the screen. You don't need to be close enough to a TV or have a good TV. TV or big enough this, big enough that. You just play it.
It's not about reaction time, you know, which is nice.
Not even the fast draw shit?
I mean, it's not like reacting to
something on the screen.
Something on the screen, right.
You don't have to be that coordinated. And it's natural stuff. It's what the whole point of it was.
It's not like press B and hold X.
You can feel the teat, right?
You can feel the teat.
You
can feel the cow's teat.
That's important when you're milking a cow.
You should feel it. But yeah, I think just in general, it's a collection of mini games, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
There we go.
I don't get the hate either, man.
Yeah. There we go.
Mm. Okay, cool. So another one for myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One that I didn't play too long ago. I think I'd beaten a big game. I guess it was Red Dead. And I was like, all right. Because I played Red Dead for forever.
Yeah, like 8 months.
I think it was closer to 7. Okay.
I said like 8. 7 is very much like 8.
It's very much not 8. Like 8.
Yeah. That's fine.
So, yeah. Anyway. I was splitting hairs there on purpose. But so I went down a little Games of Gold rabbit hole, as you do.
Yep.
And I was like, well, this Halo Spartan Assault seems fun. Mm-hmm. And I played it. And it was, you know, just a little top-down twin stick shooty.
Sure, sure.
And maybe people had a bad time with it because it was Halo and they thought they deserved better than that from a Halo franchise.
But I mean, this was designed as an iPad game.
Right?
You know?
I know.
Or something like that. Some kind of tablet game.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't designed for the Xbox One for sure. Right. But I fucking had a blast with it. It took me like 2 or 3 nights. It was kind of simple in a way. It was, you know, difficulty spike there to end. But it was mindless fun for sure.
See, I played it and I did not like
it. You
did
not like
it? I did not like it. I thought it drug on way too much.
Really?
I could have done with like half of it.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, play a little more.
Mechanically, even. Sound.
Very sound.
It was interesting.
Kind of interesting. Again, that last level kind of pissed me off. But other than that, fair enough. I thought it was good.
But yeah, I don't know. There was enough hook there for me.
Do you think a 51 is still too low, though?
Sure.
Because that 51 to me is like borderline doesn't really work. Like
that's literally...
A 51 is like only some people can enjoy this.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's better than that.
I mean, we're kind of a case.
We're split 50-50 on it, but... I don't know. I don't see why it would be that low compared to some other games I saw on that list.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other games on that list that were ranked well ahead of it that I wouldn't touch.
Sure.
So I don't know, man.
Okay.
Thought it was pretty good.
All right. So my final one here, which is, I guess, my second lowest score. Now, this is one that I kind of understand, but I liked it anyway.
Yeah.
And this is, oddly enough, a game by Spiders, who makes Greedfall, or made Greedfall. And published by HeadFocus Home Interactive, which we brought them up a few times.
Right.
Bound by Flame. This was a RPG, action RPG, that came out pretty much right as the life cycle of the PS4 was kicking off. So this game is 8-ish years old. It's one of those games I bought full price right out the gate because I was like, there was a bit of a dearth of PS4 games at the start. They had like a very small launch lineup, in my opinion. They had the Killzone, they had the Resogun, a couple of other things that just weren't memorable. But this came out pretty early before a lot of the heavy hitters came out. And I was like, this looks cool. And I knew what I was getting into because it was very much a Dragon Age-esque sort of clone of an RPG. I still thought it was fun.
And you liked it, but no one else did.
I mean, it's again a 53, so not many people liked it. Again, lots of jank, underfunded development, which Spiders will always be. Hopefully not, but potentially that's sort of their lot in life. But, you know, it was a fun sort of sword and sorcery, dragons and lore, and again, original ideas and somewhat risky storytelling that didn't just follow tropes to fit in and be popular. And that's in my head, that's just kind of where I am right now specifically. But even back then, I appreciated it.
Cool. Well, that sucks that people didn't like it. Do you think...
It might be warranted. It's not groundbreaking. It's not fantastic. There is jank. I get that it's not going to do well critically, but I still liked it.
Right. Fair enough, man. Yeah. My last one here. Yeah. On the old N64. And again, a game I played recently. Played a couple of these recently.
You did?
I wasn't surprised to see this review score. It's a 46.
Damn.
Pretty low.
It's damn.
Army Man Sarge's Heroes 2.
This is Air Attack? No,
this
just Sarge's
just
Heroes.
Regular old Sarge, regular old Heroes.
Yeah.
I will say I did like the first one better.
Okay.
The second one
now,
was...
Did the first one review better?
It did.
Know? Okay.
It did. I don't remember where it reviewed, but it was a little bit better.
Well-liked.
This one, very low. In the red. Really? 46. Pretty low. And they changed the control layout, which you could change in the settings, but that was one thing that I thought was always kind of a weird thing, and where you went from using the Z button, the trigger to shoot, they moved it to like the A button, and the trigger did something else completely, and I was like, why would you change that?
That's strange.
Trigger is shoot, dude.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, for real.
So, stuff like that. But, you know, in general, it was great. You're a little, you know, basically the same as the first. You're a little army man. It took you through a bunch of different places. You got to hang out in a kitchen and feel like you were in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something. You know, jump around in a bowl of cereal shooting dudes. I mean, it was great. Yeah. It was just so imaginative and so fun. And even though it's a little bit dated, especially graphically, I really got the sense of scale in a lot of those levels that I thought was really neat. Like, it was really cool jumping through a kitchen. Like, sure. as a little army man, I really thought they did a really good job with it. And it being an N64 game, obviously, it's going to have its hangups. But I think that's more true now than then. Like, the reviews from that time were not kind either. But I still, when I think back to that time, I'm like, this is definitely one of the... There's so many worse
games on the
that
system.
Came out. You know,
yeah.
I tried to play Glover the other day. It was fucking terrible. It was fucking awful.
I remember seeing that ads for that game everywhere.
I know.
I didn't get it then. Don't get it now.
Have you tried the game at all?
No.
It's ass.
Yeah.
You're just a fucking hand bouncing balls. It's hard. It's stupid.
Terrible.
I don't like it. It's not great. But this was definitely better than that. And
okay.
I don't know why people didn't like it or why critics specifically didn't care for it. But
gotcha.
If I had to put a number with it, though, I'd say it's a mid-60s.
Mid-60s?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's the best game ever, but it's...
It's not 49.
I had more than a 46 time with it. That's for fucking sure.
There you go.
Okay. Well, that does it for games, I guess, that people don't like, but we do.
There you go.
And who are these critics anyway? Who are they
My
to tell me?
My opinion's just as valid as theirs.
It's right. And really, I just like games that are all... I'm really interested in games that a lot of people are excited about, good or bad in terms of reviews.
Sure.
I'll occasionally go for a game on my own, really, you know, review agnostic, if I know what I'm getting into, or if it's a series I'm excited about. I was really excited for that SimCity game that came out in 2013,
yep.
And it turned out to be...
Big old stinker.
Poop-a-doop.
Yep.
Took my chances there and lost.
100%. Pooping parts.
That happens.
It does.
It's going to happen.
And that's okay.
But this just goes to show that reviews aren't everything.
Exactly.
Okay, Jake. I think that about does it. We talked about stepmoms. We talked about your Switch conundrum with collecting.
Yep.
And we talked about creepypastas. I think that about does it.
I think it does.
All right. Well, until next time, I am at Trav Plays Games.
I am at the McAxel.
Together, we are at Polykill, and we'll catch you on the next ep.
Peace.